Better, I'd like to read with you one verse from Hebrews chapter 4, and then we'll be taking our Bible and turning to the first epistle of Peter. But if you would, for just a moment, look in Hebrews chapter 4, and notice with me what is said in verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. If you have your Bible, you might underscore the word of God is living. Then if you take your Bible, turn with me again to 1 Peter chapter 1. And when you come to 1 Peter chapter 1, notice the words of the beloved Apostle Peter in verse 23. When the man of God is writing, he said, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now then, if you have your New Testament, in the epistle that Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, underscore the word of God, which lives and abides forever. What I'd like to do for just a few moments of our time is talking about making the Bible live. The apostle here refers to the word of our Lord as living. And this is the book of books. It is the book that many mothers have read and it's touched them with tears in their eyes. It's the book that many fathers have read and they've touched them with all reverence. And at this time, I want to talk about making this book live. The first thing I want us to understand is that in every age, the Bible has had many enemies. And you must keep in mind that the Bible has been attacked by enemies in every age and dispensation. You'll find it's been attacked by the philosophy of men. That there are men who look at the Word of God and they scoff at it, they mock at it, and they belittle it. They do not believe the Word of God to be inspired. And many philosophers make the Bible their target of attack. If you take your Bible and turn to the book of Acts in the 17th chapter, you'll find that in Acts 17, the philosophers of that day, when Paul came to the city of Athens, that they were interested in hearing some new thing. And you'll remember in verse 21, they spent their time in nothing else but telling and hearing some new thing. But when Paul came and Paul preached the gospel, you remember that many of them mocked. They mocked the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They mocked the fact that He said there would be a judgment day. So when you read your Bible, you'll find that even in the very beginning of New Testament Christianity, philosophers made their attack. But then if you take your Bible, turn with me to the Colossian letter for just a moment and the second chapter. And when you come to Colossians chapter 2, look at Paul's warning. In Colossians 2 and verse 8, Paul says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Do you recognize this evening how many young people have gone off to college and they've been led astray by the philosophy of men? They did not have the Word of God in their heart as they should. And some professor gets up, some man of philosophy, and he begins to attack the Bible, and the young person's not able to defend the truth. And thus they believe the philosopher over what God's Word says. And I've often thought about how the philosophers of every age have attacked the Word of God. But then if you take your Bible, think about the fact theologians have attacked the Word of God. Now, a theologian is supposed to be a man who's a great scholar of the Bible. And yet they spend their time in tearing the Word of God apart. You'll find that many of them will come along and say, this part is inspired and this part is not inspired. This part is just man-made. But I'll tell you, my beloved friend, that's not what the Apostle Paul said when he wrote to the young evangelist Timothy. If you take your New Testament, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and notice that when the Apostle Paul was writing, he said in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All of it is inspired of God. It's all God-breathed. It's all true. And so this evening, when we study the Bible, the Word of God, we must be careful lest we let some man come along and say, that's not inspired. Paul said, all of it is. But that brings up something else. Religious organizations can attack the Bible. Now that may sound strange, but you just look at Roman Catholicism for just a moment. Believe it or not, she's been guilty of destroying or attacking the Word of God. She's tried to take the Bible from the hand of the common man and you put it into the hand of what they identify as the clergy. And they say only those in the clergy can tell you the meaning. And so the Bible's not living, it's cold and dead. You have to go and have some man tell you everything. You can't understand it yourself. But I'll tell you, Protestant denominationalism can be guilty of that. They're guilty of attacking the Word of God. Any group of people that take the Word of God and twist and pervert it to say what they want it to say and not say what God says is guilty of attacking the Word of God. But that brings up a thought in our study. Even with all the attacks in all the ages, through humanism, postmodernism, pluralism, and all the other isms, have you ever thought the Bible is still here? Have you ever thought about every enemy that's made its attack has failed to destroy the Word of the living God? Every try in this country has not ceased the Word of God from being alive in the hearts of the people. Recently I heard where in China they were destroying some of the Bibles and taking the Bibles from people. And you know what some of the Chinese people were doing? They were memorizing the Scripture. And you know what they said? They can't take it from our heart. And I would to God that we had the same attitude. You remember what the psalmist said? Thy Word have I hid in my heart. But that brings up another thought in the study. How do we make the Bible come alive in our life? And we need to come face to face with how do we make the Bible a living Word? And face the fact, how do we make it living in our life? You know, the first thing we have to do is study. And you can mark down tonight, we must study the book. The Apostle Paul hit the heart when he said in 2 Timothy 2:15 in the King James, study to show thyself approved. You have to study. The reason the book's not alive to many today, they never study the book. It's amazing how people can read all sorts of books, but never read the Bible, the Word of God. And it's no wonder they find it dull. It takes effort to get anything out of it. And if you never read the Bible, you never study the Bible, then, my friend, you will find it dull. Oh, God, pity the day that we who say we love the truth of God never studied the truth of God. God, pity the day that we who say we follow the truth never open the book and find out what God has revealed to us. But secondly, not only must we study it, we must believe it. Have you ever thought that we must believe the Word of God? As one old-timer said, we must believe it from kiver to kiver. In other words, we believe every single part of it. I'll tell you, if there's any part of the Word of God I don't believe, I make the Word of God void. I believe Genesis 1:1 with all my heart that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I believe that Jonah was swallowed by the great fish. I believe that Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. I believe Jesus fed the 5,000 and He raised Lazarus from the dead. I must believe all that I read. It is true. And if I don't believe it, I won't live it. And the Word of God is not living in me. But I'll tell you a third thing. We must teach it. To make the Bible live, we must teach it. It's our responsibility to teach it to others. If I believe it, it's the Word of God, and it's able to save souls of people, I'll teach it. Open your Bible to Ezra chapter 7. And when you go back to Ezra chapter 7, you remember a familiar verse from that man of God. In verse 10, it said, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinance in Israel." I love that verse. He prepared his heart. He besought the law. and he taught it. I'll tell you, my friend, one of the things we need to do in our day and time is teach others the way of the Lord. How little time is really being spent in teaching what we call the Bible? Have you ever thought about, my friend, unless we teach it, people won't learn it? But that brings up something else. To make the Bible alive, we must let it live in us. Open your Bible to Colossians chapter 3 for just a moment. And when you come to Colossians chapter 3, look with me if you will in verse 16. He said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." Look at that statement. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Let it live in each of us. To live in each of us means more than just being able to quote the scripture or to make an argument. It means it lets the word of God control our lives. Whatever we are, or wherever we are the people of God at all times. And we let the word of God dwell in us. Whatever we're doing, wherever we are, because we let it live in us. You know, some people that you're around that love the Word of the Lord, they just excite you about studying the Bible. There's some people that when you talk to them, you can just tell they love the Word of the Lord. They let it dwell in them. And because they let it dwell in them, that makes others excited. I want to know, are you one of those people? No matter how people view the Bible, you know what it says about itself? It's a living. Now, some people try to kill it. But it's living. And no one can kill it because Peter said it abides forever. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord what? Abides forever. Let it live in us so we can abide forever because we follow its teachings. If you're here and you need to obey the gospel, we pray you come as together we stand and sing.
All things are ready. Come to